This evening's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
Thank you for the scripture reading. Tonight I'm going to talk about the I am statements of Paul. When we think of the I am statements in the Bible, we normally think of Jesus, and we think of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world, or I am the good shepherd, or I am the way, the truth, and the light. When we look at those, and those are powerful I am statements that Jesus makes. But Paul, being an imitator of Christ, also presents some strong I am statements of his own. We see in our scripture reading those I am statements. In the first part of the letter to the saints in Rome, we see it is very personal. In fact, some call it a prayer between verse 8 and verse 13. And we see that Paul, he is thankful. He says, I thank my God through Jesus for all of you. He said that in verse 10, he said, I may find a way by the will of God to come to you. He's very personal by using the word I. And he wants to come to them. He wants to bring the gospel to them. And he said so that he can be also an encouragement to them. Then he really gets into the thrust of his statement in verse 13, where he says that he wants to come that I may have some fruit among you also, just as I among other Gentiles. You see, he wanted to come and bear fruit with them, to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim it to them. And then he goes into his three I am statements. The first one being, I am a debtor. Then he says, I am ready. And then he says, I am not ashamed. We're going to look at each of those three tonight. Paul was a debtor. He says, I am a debtor. And that Paul was a debtor to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we think of that, each one of us is a debtor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul realized and was a beneficiary of the grace of God. Paul was one who persecuted Christians, who was sinful, and he come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, obeyed the gospel, and then went out and taught his teaching, and he's a debtor of it. In fact, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, he found that he was the chief of sinners. He knew the love of God had for him, and he knew what Jesus had done on the cross for him. And he said, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor to first Jesus. He's a debtor to God. And we look at this and we see that this indebtedness for that. But when we read the context of this verse, that's not what he's in debt of. He says, I'm a debtor to both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. And we see that when he's talking about that, he's indebted to them because he has the gospel. He has the gospel, and now he wants to take them the gospel. And when he talks about these two, he's talking about those in the Greek language. He uses the Greeks to the Greeks and to the barbarians. That he brings it to the language and speaks and Greek was the prominent language at that time. And when they if you did not speak a Greek, you were considered barbarians. So they would have understood this at this time. And Paul was also, he was commissioned to take the gospel to them. He was obligated, or it says he's a debtor. He felt an obligation to them because they needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we look at this, he said, to the wise and the unwise. What he's doing here, he's saying that he is a debtor to all mankind. And he uses two extremes, the wise and the unwise. He feel in doing that, he's just saying that I'm a debtor to each and every one, each and every person I come into contact. Why? Because he was saved by the grace of God. He was saved by his obedience to that gospel. And then now he feels an indebtedness to take that gospel to others. And we see that in Paul's writing here. Paul was commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But he's also was commissioned to bring it to his own brethren as well. He felt an obligation to bring it to everybody he had came in contact with. And we see that Paul, he was a debtor, or obligated would be another way to say it, that he was obligated to take the gospel to others. And I want us to take a minute and think about that and what Paul felt, that indebtedness, felt that obligation to take the gospel. And I want us to kind of look at ourselves. Do we feel that same obligation to take the gospel to other people? You see, we are saved by the grace of God. We were obedient to the gospel, and all the things that we have done, the sinful things that we have done, all those were washed away in the waters of baptism. And as we continue to live faithfully, we then still receive that cleansing of our sins. Do we feel an obligation to also take that gospel to other people and to so that they can enjoy the same benefits that we are enjoying in Christ Jesus? When we look at that, we must not forget that our commission by Jesus himself was to go into all the world teaching the gospel, teaching and preaching. And we must not forget that. That Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and that we need to go, therefore, and make disciples and teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an obligation to do that. We have a command to do that. And we must not forget the consequences of those who do not hear the gospel. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Matthew 25 and verse 46. And it talks about what happens if people do not hear and be obedient to the gospel. In verse 46 it says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You see, those who do not hear the gospel, those who do not obey the gospel, will go into eternal destruction. And we look at that and we need to feel a sense of obligation to get them the gospel, to take it to them so that they have the choice to whether to obey it or not to obey it. If we need to have that sense of obligation, we also need to remember what happens when others do believe the gospel and obey it. Matthew 25 and verse 34, it says, "And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Enter in to that eternal life. Each one of us here desire to hear that, those words, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we look at that and we see this, and we need not to forget what the consequences are if we don't believe that. You see, each one of us are beneficiaries of that grace of God that sent Jesus to the cross, that we can have the opportunity to have our sins washed away. We, like Paul, should feel a sense of indebtedness to take that gospel to a lost and dying world. Paul, in verse 15 in Romans chapter 1, says, "So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." And we see Paul's commitment. Paul had a commitment, and he said, "So as much as it is in me," as much as it is that in his power, he was going to take the gospel to the world. Paul was going to give all that he could. And this is not a statement of ability, but a statement of desire. He had a desire to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We too should have that desire. Paul was zealous and was eager to serve God. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Galatians 1 and verse 13, it says, "For you have heard from my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." You see, Paul was a very zealous man. He was zealous, and he was following the old law, and he was doing everything he could to keep people from going away from that law. And then he come and found Jesus. He found the right way, and that was that before that time he was doing what was right. Then Jesus came and things changed. That old law was nailed to the cross. And we see then Paul became a Christian and he followed after. And once he come to that knowledge, he did three things. And those three things can be found in Ezra 7 and verse 10. And you're probably thinking, well, that's not talking about Paul. And it's not. Ezra 7 and verse 10 says this. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach the statutes and ordinance in Israel." You see, three things Paul learned to do. He learned the gospel of Jesus Christ. He obeyed it. He did it. And then he goes out and teaches it. Paul was one who prepared himself. And we look at this when he says, "I am ready." He's preparing himself to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's sense of, so, and how did he do it? First, he learned the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he did it. He applied it to his life. Then he went out and taught it to everybody he came in contact with. We, too, need to learn, do, and teach. Learn the gospel. Do it and teach it to all that we come in contact with. Paul had a desire. He had a desire to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see this in verse 15. He says, "To you who are in Rome." You see, Paul was eager to come to the Christians in Rome. We look in verse 13, we kind of touched upon it. He says, "Now I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I may have some fruit among you, just as I did among the Gentiles." See, Paul wanted to come to them. He wanted to come to them and teach them the gospel, and teach them and impart spiritual gifts on them. Verse 11, it talks about that. And we see that Paul had that concern, a deep concern for these Christians, these saints that are in Rome. And he wanted to come to them. But he was a missionary. He was one that went out into all the world and was teaching. He was commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he was doing that. But he also had a desire to be with these Christians here to help them grow as well. And with Paul being a missionary, he didn't always get to go exactly where he wanted to go, but at times he was able to go there. But wherever he went, he taught the gospel. And we look at that, he felt a sense of eagerness when he said that he's eager to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see in this passage here that he had a desire to spend time with these Christians. And I ask you, as much as it is in you, are you taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out into this world? You know, let's think about this for a second. As much as we have in us, are we taking that gospel out to the world? You see, we know that there are Christians. We know that there are non-Christians. We know that there are some in our neighborhood. Or maybe it's our neighbors right beside us. Maybe it's the ones down the street. Or maybe it's our coworker or others that do not have the gospel and are not obedient to it. Do we feel that sense of eagerness to take the gospel to them? Just think, if every Christian had this sense of eagerness, as much as it has in him to take the gospel to the world, our churches would be flourishing, the buildings would be flourishing, there would be Christians all over this world. You see, we cannot forget what God has done for us. He's given us the opportunity to spend eternity with him in heaven. We should feel obligated, have that sense of eagerness to take the gospel to those who need to hear it. The third I am statement, he said, I am not ashamed. You see, there's a standing for the gospel. The standing was Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of the teaching. He wasn't ashamed or embarrassed of it. He was not afraid of sharing it with anybody he came in contact with, even though they might reject him. And if you think of Paul, Paul was one who had prominence in the old law. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And we look at Philippians chapter 2, and he had great stature. He was a Pharisee. One that people looked to for guidance spiritually, who knew the law. He gave all that up. He gave all that up to become a Christian. And that was more of a physical side, but he gave that all up, and he then is now a Christian and is going to do what he can to grow spiritually, to teach others to look at the spiritual side of life. And Paul was not afraid of the gospel. He was not ashamed of it. Paul believed in the gospel. And we have to ask, why did he have such conviction? Why did he have such conviction in the gospel? Well, we look in verse 16 in Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. We see this the saving power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. The power of God for salvation. This explains why Paul felt a sense of indebtedness. This explains why Paul was ready to take the gospel. And this explains that why Paul was not ashamed of it, is because it's the power of God for salvation. And we see that the gospel has power to save souls, has power to save someone who is dead in their sins and who was a terrible person before they became a Christian. He knew the power. Paul knew that because he was one like that. Paul was, we look at it and you look back and you can't help but think that Paul, he have regrets on what he did. Persecuted Christians. He had them stoned. He was one chasing them out of the cities. And then he realized that he was wrong for doing so. Then he became a Christian himself. and had and realized the power of God to salvation. That everyone who believes, and there's a scope to that, and that is for everyone who believes. This has been the plan of God from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, that all those who believe in the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, has that opportunity to be saved. And we look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We think of that, and we need to realize that we need to believe in God, and we need to teach people to believe in God. And maybe as Christians, we tend not to talk about that in some ways because it doesn't talk about baptism here. You know, there's more to believing. But if you put it in the context of John 3, the whole chapter is talking about being obedient to God. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand it. How can I go into mother's womb? He didn't understand what that meant. And Jesus talked to him, you must be born again. And it leads up to this verse that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. You see, we need to not be ashamed of the gospel. We need to believe and be obedient to it. And we need to understand that the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. There's a succession to the gospel. It was for the Jews first and also to the Greek. When we look at this, we think here, why was it for the Jews first? Well, we see, if you would turn to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 explains this in verse 8. It says, you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and then in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. You see, when Paul says this, he's reiterating the gospel is for everyone. Paul classified the Jews first. So when he said that, what it was going to start was it's going to start in Jerusalem. And then it's going to go to Samaria, and it's going to go to the remotest part of the world. And it's going to be, and that's how, why it was for the Jews first. The Jews were one that were a chosen vessel to bring forth the Messiah, and that was then going to be taught in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. This was not for any special people anymore, but now it is for everyone who believes. Then there's a shame for not preaching the gospel. What if Christians were not ashamed to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, to our friends or family? God's plan does not change. We see society change, culture changes, and most of the time culture dictates what societal beliefs are. And we can't be ashamed of the gospel because the gospel doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. And yes, there's some things that are in here that are contradicting to the world of what society believes now. But at the same time, we can't be ashamed. It's God's word that we have. And if society is going to go against God's word, we still need to go out and teach God's word so that they can come back to what God wants them to do and the way that God wants them to live their life. We need not to be ashamed in the gospel, no matter where we are or what society thinks about it. We need to not be ashamed of it. You know, we tend to be bold on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, while we gather together. We tend to be bold while we're in the comfort of like-minded people. But what happens when we go out Monday morning to work? To our places, wherever we go. What happens when we go out Tuesday? Are we still proclaiming that boldness of Jesus Christ? Are we still being bold on Thursday and Friday and throughout the week? Are we still being as bold as we are in the confines of this building? You see, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and neither should we. Paul's I am statements are very powerful. They're also very challenging for us, that we too need to take a minute. Let's take a minute and just read them again. Verse 14, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul had a sense of obligation to take the gospel. Paul by no means was ashamed of the gospel. And because it is the power of God to salvation. These are challenging scriptures for us. Sometimes we look at this and, you know, we have to get out of our comfort zone to take the gospel to others that need to hear it. Sometimes that's not always the easiest thing. Rejection is not always easy. Hopefully they don't reject it, but at the same time, we need to take it out to the world. We need to apply these scriptures to our life. If you're here tonight and you are not living faithful to God, maybe you're struggling with sin, or maybe you got caught up in the world, it's time to come home. It's time to get your life right with God. Or maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do so tonight. In doing so, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must confess that. You must repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight and not in the right relationship with God, take care of that tonight as we stand and as we sing.